Abortion is an important topic in every election, including those coming soon at the time of this recording. But we're often given the impression that if you're pro-life as a candidate, well, that works against you. Is that really true? Since Roe v. Wade was overturned, the left believes that promoting abortion rights is a winning issue. Chelsea Human is the Texas State Director and National Legislative Advisor at Human Coalition Action. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Chelsea Human joins us again on this program to discuss the issue of abortion and elections in general. Chelsea, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course, grateful to be here.
I think this is the first time you and I have spoken since Roe v. Wade was overturned. I could be wrong, but quite an development there.
Yes, it has been a historic summer. I'm leading into really what will be a historic election cycle, no doubt. I mean, after all, this is the first time we as voters, as citizens, get to vote to protect life. Really, that's what our votes are going to be going towards here in about 2 weeks. And so it's been an incredible season, but one where I think really everyone's showing their cards. Those who are truly pro-life and want to defend children in the womb are talking about it and committed to that. And really, those who are extreme and want abortion on demand through the third trimester, they're showing their cards too right now.
Well, it's interesting. At one point, I guess the media was banging the drum, making it seem as if, oh, this is going to be the winning election for those on the left. Now it seems that maybe that's not so true anymore.
Well, I hope not. That's obviously going to be up to us, right? As everyday citizens, we get to decide what our country will look like and what we think is worthy of defending, and whether we as a society are going to stand for allowing unborn children in the womb to be killed. So that has yet to be determined. I just want to encourage everybody to be engaged and be involved, because you are right. Pro-abortionists have spent, the last number I saw total was over $300 million on political campaign ads.
Wow.
So the Democrats have definitely hung their hat on that, so to speak, and are committed to pushing people towards abortion. But I think at the end of the day, everyday humans, we understand, everyday Americans, that there are human lives at stake in the womb. And it's a really extreme position that they have on that side.
What about even the idea of abortion up to the moment of birth? I mean, that seems to go beyond Roe v. Wade. By the way, if you read Roe v. Wade, which I did once many years ago, they made a big deal about the first trimester, and they said this is all we're talking about. But they had a companion decision of the same day, Doe v. Bolton, and it basically said that, well, there can be exceptions for the second and third trimesters. So you could argue that theoretically Roe v. Wade gave us abortion on demand through the whole pregnancy, you know, given certain conditions. But now they're just talking about abortion up to the moment of birth, the end. And in some cases, maybe even a few days afterwards.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, I mentioned that everybody's really showing what it is they're about now. And the other side is overtly committed to abortion without limits. Taxpayer funded abortion. There are multiple states, California, Maryland, and several others, who are trying to adopt initiatives to allow not only abortion up until the moment of birth, but also for 40 days after birth, infant deaths will not be investigated. So that's infanticide. And it's something we've seen really being pushed hard on the other side. There is no moderation. It is extreme and it's dark. And I think we know that truth and science and light and scripture is on our side when it comes to life in the womb. Everything points towards the fact that it is in fact a human in there, and the child is in fact alive, and that it is worthy of protection. And it's really on us to decide if we're going to engage and be a voice for the voiceless.
Yeah, I've got to say something real fast about that 40 days thing you were just saying. And another example I heard was 28 days. But this is really important. Every state and the District of Columbia, as I understand it, has their own version of it, but they have what are called safe harbor laws. If a baby is born, all right, and the mother feels like she just can't keep the baby, she can't rear the baby, whatever, all she's got to do is take it over in a box and drop it off at a fire station, you know, someplace, a police department, someplace that's open 24/7. And she can do it. No questions asked. This is a safe harbor law, so that baby yeah. can be saved. There's no need to take that baby, I can't afford it, and then kill the baby and put that baby, you know, in your backyard or in a dumpster or something like that, as some people do. But the mm-hmm. the safe harbor law is important to, you know, we got to bang the drum on that more so people know about it.
You're right. And so that women know that there's options and help available that, you know, I think we've been sold for so many decades under the Roe regime that women's best options for success and health and financial stability is abortion. And that's just a flat out lie. We want to see women thriving alongside with their living children. And there's such an infrastructure in place and has been for decades, the Pregnancy Resource Center movement. There are over 3,000 pro-life charitable nonprofits standing ready to serve women for this moment. The infrastructure's in place, and that's not to mention over 14 states that have alternatives to abortion programs where our elected officials care about women. They care about pregnant women in need. It is not an issue that the left gets to own. Frankly, it's one that is supported by Republicans who say, we know there are vulnerable people here in our society that we need to care for and in order to protect and save lives. And I think it's a beautiful partnership. And those are the types of initiatives we want to see expanded after elections.
Okay, all things being equal, is it an asset to be pro-life or is it better to be pro-abortion rights if you're a politician? How does that work? Or maybe I guess it depends on where you are.
Right. You know, I really would say that no matter who you are, where you are, what your platform looks like, it is always right to stand up for humans and human lives and to stand against barbaric practices that kill innocent humans, no matter where you are in history. And so forget about the election. I think that everyday Americans want to see courage on this issue. We want to see you stand up and commit to saying, we want better for women. We want better for children, and we can do better as a society. Abortion is unnecessary to a functioning society. And now is the moment to stand strong because it's really hard for voters if they see weakness to want to vote for weakness. We want to see strength and say, look, we've prayed for 50 years. We worked for 50 years for this moment. Show up. It's your turn to work. And we want leadership who will work with us.
All right. This is interesting. In a debate recently, Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams was asked about inflation and so forth. And she said, well, the problem with inflation gets back to abortion. And she said this, and this is a direct quote. I'm just going to quote her. Quote, having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs, end quote. So in other words, the solution to this inflation problem is just, you know, abort those kids. Don't have those kids, then you won't have those expenses. Okay, thank you, Stacey. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, when it comes to statements like that, it's truly people are showing you their hearts on abortion, that humans are expendable, children are expendable, and they should be expended in her arguments for your own success. And it's frankly extreme, but unfortunately it's common. That is the pro-abortionist argument, that children should be sacrificed for others. And I think we all need to wake up as a country and understand that this isn't what it used to be in the 90s where it was supposed to be like safe, legal, and rare. I mean, that's a very different argument than the one she's making where she says, help the poor by killing the poor. It's disgusting and one that we know now. She's put us on notice that Stacey Abrams stands for death.
I understand that Planned Parenthood has donated a lot of money into the elections. You alluded to it when you were talking about the $300 million figure. I'm sure that's not 100% from Planned Parenthood, but much of it is, I imagine.
Yes, Planned Parenthood. The last number I heard was around $50 million. I'm not sure if there's been more than that, and that the DNC allegedly has spent about $250 million in pro-abortion ads. And we know that the ads they're extreme. They're meant to fearmonger, and they're really, frankly, disconnected from reality. The reality is, on the ground, women every day have rights. The reality is, abortion's available. If you don't know this, it's still available in 75% of our country. And so it's just become a state issue. Many states allow abortion, as we've talked about, through the third trimester. So the fear mongering is something meant, I think, to really people who care, we care about women and we love women. We don't want to see, we want to see women thriving. And so just remember that women can have futures, can be successful and be empowered, and that there are resources available to help get them there. And that's through the pro-life movement, frankly.
It's interesting. There was a California congressman, Eric Swalwell, who had this very cheesy TV ad. It was about a minute and a half long. It's a mini drama. Basically, the police come to the door and arrest a woman because she had had an abortion. And mm-hmm. she's being arrested there in front of her children and in front of her husband. The irony is this is all hypothetical. Meanwhile, in reality, we've seen something like, you know, 22 peaceful pro-life people being arrested with the same type of thing, only more officers, frankly, because they somehow violated the laws related to abortion clinic access and so forth. But it's crazy, you know, the shoe is on the other foot.
Yes, it absolutely is. You're so right. That's not making the news, but the last number I saw was over 90 acts of violent vandalism against pro-life churches and resource centers. And there has not been a single arrest made that we're aware of. And so the other side is, and those ads, I'll just blatantly call those out for what they are. They're just blatantly not true. That's complete fabrication. Every single state before, during, and after Roe protects women from prosecution. We only ever have recommended in our movement to prosecute abortion providers. And further, most actual court systems have held that women are the second victim of abortion. They're mm-hmm. preyed on by the abortion industry. And so you can be confident, no matter where you are in our country, that women are going to be protected under the law, and they always have been.
What has been the impact of the Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe v. Wade, on the abortion industry in America?
Well, it's been interesting. I think we mentioned that it's now more of a local state-by-state issue. And so in some states like Texas, there are 13 states that protect life at conception now. Most of those abortion clinics have closed. However, the opposite is also true. They're just popping up, and they've been building for years, new construction right across the state lines. And so, for instance, Arizona is a great example. They're protecting life better now, but across the border, women will cross the border off the highway and go pick up pills on the side of the highway from abortion providers. They'll take them right there. So you can believe that pills are coming into states. They can be ordered online from international providers. Abortion is frankly just looks a little bit different right now. And so we really do have our work cut out for us to be a culture and society that values human beings, even when they're little, and a culture and society who wants better for women than abortion.
Okay, we have about a minute left. You could give the website, but also could you comment on medical abortion, the pills, the medicinal abortion, because that's a very scary development in this whole issue.
It is. I mean, tens of thousands of pills coming in. Women can have abortions without ever leaving their homes. They pay for the pills online. They're shipped internationally. We don't know what's in them, frankly. So it's really dangerous practice. We need to continue to be in prayer and consider legislation on those initiatives. But I'm the National Legislative Advisor for Human Coalition Action. You can find us at hucoaction.org.
Okay, but we still have 30 seconds. Why is this medicinal part, why is that putting women at risk more than, let's say, the surgical kind?
It's very dangerous. A recent study on Charlotte Lozier came out showing that women are 500 times more likely to go to the ER than surgical abortion with the abortion pill. And so it is a dangerous pill. If you get the prescription wrong, or with the woman's further along than she thought, she can hemorrhage. There's high risks involved, although that's all, frankly, buried by the FDA. But some studies are showing how dangerous it really is.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us. Chelsea Human, always a pleasure.
Thank you.